Once a famous rabbi was traveling through the countryside, and he happened to pass by a small town. And the people inside asked him to come into their synagogue and give a talk. So he did. And he said to the congregation, "When an artist paints a picture or a sculptor works with clay, each creation is different, but beautiful in its own way, and every piece contains a trace of the artist. And it's the same with our Creator. Hashem shapes each of us to a special purpose, but we all have a mark of the artist, a spark of the divine. And our deepest work is to recognize that spark in ourselves and each other." Everyone in the congregation was moved by the rabbi's talk. Outside the synagogue, there was a deformed beggar who had walked all the way to the synagogue to hear the rabbi speak, but he was so ashamed of his hideous appearance that he listened outside. He was so touched by the rabbi's words that he decided to ask the rabbi for a personal blessing. So he waited till the rabbi walked down the path, and then he stepped out. He pulled the shawl from his face and he said,
"Rabbi, would you please give me a blessing?"
The rabbi was so startled by the beggar's grotesque face that he blurted out,
"Oh, what an abomination!"
"Abomination, am I? Did our Creator forget the spark of the divine when he made me?"
Oh, the rabbi was mortified by what he'd done, and he threw himself at the beggar's feet and he said, "Oh, I am so terribly sorry. I don't know what came over me. I've wounded you deeply. Please, please forgive me." And the beggar said,
"I'll forgive you when the one who made me forgives you."
Well, the rabbi threw dirt on himself and he groveled at the beggar's feet. "I am so deeply sorry. I cannot leave until I have your forgiveness."
"You can go whenever you like, but I won't forgive you till the one who made me forgives you."
Well, the rabbi continued to lie at the beggar's feet and ask for forgiveness, and the beggar kept repeating the same phrase. Hours passed. It was getting late, and the rabbi's family was getting worried. So his children, two sons and a daughter, came looking for their father, and they found him lying in the dirt at the beggar's feet. And the beggar said to them,
"You're the children of this rabbi? Do you insult people the way he does?"
"Oh, our father would never insult anyone. He's a great rabbi." But the rabbi looked up and he said, "No, it's true. I've offended this man, and I can't leave here until he forgives me." Well, the first son walked up to the beggar and he said, "You can see my father's truly sorry. Please forgive him."
"I'll forgive him when the one who made me forgives him."
And the second son tried, "Please, this is enough. My father has prostrated himself at your feet. What more can he do?"
"He can do whatever he pleases, but I won't forgive him till the one who made me forgives him."
Well, the rabbi's daughter then walked up to the beggar and very gently took him by the arm, and she spoke. But before I tell you what she said, I have to tell you what the story said to me. When I pick a story, or I should say a story picks me, it's because some issue in the story is up for me. And I let the story be the vehicle that illuminates that issue, and my exploration of it is the path that enlightens the story. It's my own way of preparing for the High Holy Days. Well, obviously, the year I picked this story, the issue was forgiveness. And for me, it was self-forgiveness. I'd been locked in a negative cycle all year, blaming myself. I was both the prisoner and the warden, and I just couldn't get out of it. I kept coming to this place in the story, and I knew this was where the story had to be illuminated. Usually, I meditate on the story and visualize the characters and see what emerges. I kept visualizing and meditating, and nothing was emerging. High holidays were coming up pretty quickly. Well, sometimes I get inspiration in dreams, so I decided to ask for a dream. I went to bed,
using the old technology of setting my intention, my kavanah, saying a prayer, and the modern technology of having a notebook, a pen, and a flashlight in case anything came. I felt like I was waiting for the tooth fairy, but nothing came. And by day, I was still meditating and visualizing and trying to explore the issue of self-forgiveness. And the more I explored, the more I realized I was really stuck that year on the issue of parenting. My daughter was experiencing the first pangs of adolescence and expressing them loudly. You know, you teach your children to express their feelings freely, and then they do. Oh, and it was awful. And I was blaming myself for all of her pain. And in my mind, I was listing the reasons why it must have been all my fault. Let's see. I weaned her too soon. She was 2.5. Maybe it was the time that I let her cry in her crib for 10 minutes. That was it. Or maybe it's just that she's the oldest child and I've expected too much. And all of this self-blame was weighing on my heart like stones. So by day, I was processing all of this, and by night, I was still waiting for a dream, and nothing came. Finally, the cycle came to a halt when I got a call from my mother. Now, that may not seem unusual to you, but my mother had been dead for 20 years. No, it didn't come in my dream. The call came in my daughter's dream. One morning, she got up and she said, "Mom, I had the strangest dream. I dreamed that your mom called." And I said, "Oh, who was it for?" "It was for you. She said she wants to talk to you." And I said it couldn't be her because she's dead. And she insisted that she wanted to talk to you. And so I said I'd give you the message. And she did. My mother wanted to talk to me, and she came to me in my daughter's dream. And suddenly, I got it. In order for me to forgive myself for not being a perfect parent, I had to first forgive my own mother. So, I went jogging. There's a particular place off the trail where I jog where three trees come together. And when I slide off of the path, when I want to be alone or to pray, I put my hands on those trees and I can always feel the presence of Shekhinah. And I can feel all the female ancestors there to witness my prayers. And that day, I slid down off of the trail. As soon as I got there, I put my hands on those trees. I felt the presence of Shekhinah and my mother was waiting. She said, "It's time to forgive." Well, I took a deep breath and I tried. "I forgive you for not being there when I needed you." But the words seemed kind of hollow. I tried again. "I forgive you for drinking too much," but I felt the words sticking in my throat. And my mother reached out her arms and she said, "You can do it." I tried harder. "I forgive you," but the words just didn't seem real. And I realized that those stones of unforgiveness that were wedged in my heart were warm and familiar. And I thought, well, what would I be without them? And my mother said, "Lighter. You'd be lighter." Lighter. I tried again. I tried harder. "I forgive you for drinking too much." And this time I felt it rising up out of me and right into my mother's arms. "I forgive you for not being there when I needed you." And this time, she reached out and she took it, and I felt lighter. And with each one, I reached down and I could feel that stone lifting, and I could feel my mother taking it, and I felt lighter. And I realized that my own pain was exactly the same as my mother's. And when I was done, I felt like I was being washed with water.
I leaned back and I felt like I was floating in my mother's arms. And when I got up, it actually had begun to rain, a light drizzle, and I collected myself and I climbed back up the trail and I started to jog home. And I felt lighter. In fact, I was bounding down the trail. And when I got home, I went in the bathroom, actually, and I weighed myself. I weighed the same. Physically, that is. Now the rabbi's daughter took the beggar's hand and spoke. My father's not waiting here for God's forgiveness. God has already forgiven him. God's mercy falls and washes over us like the rain. And my father doesn't wait here for you to forgive him. He doesn't need your forgiveness. He waits here for your sake. He knows that malice stored up in the heart weighs like stones. He's waiting for you to forgive. Come, it's time. Now the beggar, who had suffered years of scorn and abuse, felt something shifting inside of him, and he walked over to the rabbi, and he knelt down.
I forgive you. Can you ever forgive me?
And the rabbi said, it's done. And he got up, and he lifted the beggar onto his donkey, and he called for a new garment, which he wrapped around the beggar's shoulders, and together they all walked to the next town. ¶¶